ओमिगेमिथिमरंदस्य ज्ञानंजनाशलाकया चक्षुर्विमृतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् वंशकौपतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयेव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रियाद्वैतगदाधर शिवासुदेव गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे greetings from Vrindavan. I'm back in Vrindavan. I'm very happy to be back with all of you. I think we were we weren't here for about 2 weeks. Unavoidably, just couldn't coordinate the proper connection for the sanghas. Today, I'll just briefly say something about Lord Nityananda. It's Nityananda Triodasi. We did have a wonderful program here in Vrindavan, especially the wonderful kirtans during the Abhishek by Bibi Govinda Maharaj. That was quite wonderful. I also did Vrindavan Parikram. A little tired, not just because it's late, but Puri Atru is really wonderful. Most of you are not on the Wednesday call, so I'll just repeat a little bit, but it's really a wonderful program. 1 second, excuse me. excuse me. My main realization with that is just how bhakti works, how association works, this term sangha. It's something I'm really focusing on lately. In fact, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when it says, what is the main quality of a Vaishnava? It's a satsang tyag, a Vaishnava. You give up a satsang. Sat means truth, a sat means untruth. You give up those things you associate with that convey and put into your heart things that bring you away from God, bring you away from the self, degrade the mind. Basically, we are what we associate with. Association is like a crystal ball mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It reflects, a crystal ball reflects anything in its proximity. That's the way our minds are. We reflect anything in our proximity. And the potency or the power of that reflection or the ability of that object to influence us is our appreciation of that object. and the appreciation or value we ascribe to something, or the attraction or attachment we have to something, creates sangha. It really creates the association. The proximity, of course, will affect us. Excuse me, I'll just be back in 1 second. Of course, the proximity to an object will affect us. But that's not really sangha. We deal in the world with so many people. We're kind to people. We have relationships with people, etc. We deal with people. That's fine. But where you open your heart to is really where sangha is, and how you open your heart to something. And that creates, I have this image of sangha association being a conduit. It creates a conduit, a channel to the intent of the sangha means things or people. It creates an association to objects or people. Of course, people is the main sangha. It's the main way we become affected. But of course, objects also. They have effect. And so I saw when you have a yatra, you know, what happened. And so therefore, you know, bhakti is when you have value appreciation for objects of devotion. And when you have that type of appreciation for objects of devotion, then the potency of devotion comes in your heart, because objects of devotion are things that are in service to God, or are used in service for God, or constitutionally for service to God, or your intent is to use them for whatever it especially when you think of God, not only things that are objects in service of God, but specifically manifestations of God Himself. Of course, the term God can be very broad. It means God and His differentiated energies. But when you associate with objects and acts of devotion, the quality of bhakti comes in your heart. So when you attend a retreat where it's organized in a way, and you're in a holy place to facilitate that association, then at the end of 5 or 6 days, there is a pronounced change in one's heart of devotion. And naturally, that's a happy heart. There's a feeling of sublimity that comes in that type of retreat. So it was really wonderful. And our schedule, and therefore, you know, what is the duty of a teacher in bhakti? The teacher finds the ways and means to engage the student or disciple in devotional service. He finds the inclinations that the disciple has to facilitate that sangha, that absorption. You know, a musician already likes rhythm and melody. They already open their heart to rhythm and melody. That person will be engaged in kirtan. You know, another person already likes study, likes intellectual exercises. He that person may be engaged in scholarship. But whatever the one's engaged in, absorbed, then the qualities come to one. And I'm thinking in that regard, how important it is to instill within children the appropriate appreciation for objects that communicate truth, mainly by the example of the parents and what they associate with. The child, if they have respect for the parents, will appreciate and value what the parents appreciate. And if the parents value and appreciate devotion, then those qualities will so easily come into the child's heart. I was thinking, you know, even my chokidar here, my assistant here, Madhu, very nice Indian young man, Bengali Vaishnav. You know, the culture in those families is, you know, they have deities, and the deities are seriously worshipped. And therefore, his young son, you know, there's evening kirtan where everybody participates in. Automatically, so many attachments for Krishna and devotion come into their heart. Nandanandana, and my friend at the Goshala, he had his four daughters, and it was kirtan every night. It just works. So, having this retreat was very... As a result, I'm pretty exhausted. I mean, it was really wonderful from you know, all day, you know, schedule's balanced, but for me, it was all day. So right now, I'm a little bit fatigued. Now, today is the appearance of Lord Nityananda. And there's many, many ways to approach the tattva or the truth. But obviously it begins with God. And the expansion of God for the service of God. The service of God is a very interesting concept. It's basically the absolute reality loving itself by creating something separate from itself. It's kind of, there's an ultimate reality, and it's moving with energies for its pleasure, and the energies have this potency of love. We see it here in this world. It's the thing we value most, and if it's our guiding principle here, why shouldn't it be intrinsically part of the absolute reality? So when you have the concept of Krishna, that the ultimate aspect of the absolute reality, is lila or play, which entails an exchange of love, then the other aspects of the absolute reality are carried out by his expansion. And Krishna lila, that means Balaram. And Prabhupada summed up Nityananda and Balaram Tattva so wonderfully. So wonderfully. So Prabhupada stated, he said, Balaram serves Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. So Balaram Tattva means Balaram expands then into the Chaturvyuha, his four expansions in Dwarka, and then from Balaram in Dvorka, Sankarsana, in the second. They all affairs of existence and knowledge. And knowledge means Guru Tattva, which is a very interesting principle. Principle is that God has a potency to educate and inspire those in ignorance to serve him. That's Balaram. That's Nityananda. That's in all affairs. When Balaram or Nityananda serves Krishna Chaitanya in affairs of knowledge, he manifests as Guru Tattva. There's Samasti Guru and there's Vyasti Guru. Samasti Guru means the principle of Guru, the energy of Guru. And Vyasti Guru means the individual person through which one experiences that potency. So without that potency, there can be no understanding and inspiration to serve God. You have to touch that potency in some way or another. Unless that potency enters in your heart, you will neither want to nor know how to move closer to God. And that's the principle of Nityananda, at least one of his important principles. And that's illustrated in Gaur Lila at the story of Raghunath Das Goswami. The story of Raghunath Das Goswami is that he was a young man in the wealthiest and most aristocratic family of West Bengal. In fact, his father's uncle, Aranya and Govardhan Majumdara, they had basically purchased from the Muslims a district in West Bengal called Saptagram. And in that district, it was free for the Vaishnavas to associate with, you know. And Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was a young boy, one of the gurus in Saptagram was named Balaram Acharya, and he was a friend of Haridas Thakur, and he invited Haridas Thakur to their village. So young Raghunath Das Goswami used to associate with him. Again, a young boy in a cultured family automatically appreciates and values saints. And by that appreciation, the attraction for both the holy name and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu naturally came into his heart. That's how we become inspired by Sangha. It's the most important principle. Therefore, although the real principle is we should chant here and remember Krishna always, to get that level of Sangha, if one doesn't have that, how does he get it? Shushushroshvadatanasya Vasudeva Katavati Syat Mahatsevana Punyati. You associate with those who are saintly, and then the Vasudeva, the Katavati. but it struck Raghunath Das Goswami in his heart so powerfully that it became the prominent attachment in his life. That's fortunate samskara. That's fortunate impressions, but that was his prime impression, and it was such a strong desire in his heart. And he became very depressed because he was the only son in a joint family of his uncle and his father, the only male issue, the only child. And he really had a legitimate desire in his heart for renunciation. It wasn't an artificial thing. But there were so many obstacles, and he was like a frustrated young boy. And even one time he tried to this is such an instructive point. He ran away to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him back. He said, don't become a false renunciate. Rather, become a pounds and shillings person. And I think this instruction is so important. If we look at the history of ISKCON and the amount of monks and sannyasis who were unable to maintain their levels of renunciation. See, here we should have paid more attention to this instruction, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't encourage the renunciation. Rather, he tested the renunciation. First, he said, go back. Because there is no going back once you take those vows. I think this is a very, very powerful instruction. Example of Lord Chaitanya with Raghunath Das Goswami. A very, very powerful instruction. One second. Very powerful instruction, which I think we should heed. Lord Chaitanya did not encourage that. He wanted it, but he wanted it from people who legitimately had those qualities, so it was tested. Then another 6 years passed, and he was so frustrated, he finally just was given permission by his wealthy father and sent some to see Lord Nityananda. And when he saw Lord Nityananda in Panihati, Lord Nityananda was very effulgent. He was sitting under a tree. And Raghunath Das Goswami was in the he was very shy. He was a very famous person, being the son of the richest man in the district, in India practically. And when he saw him, Raghunath was so shy, he was in a distance. And then Lord Chaitanya said, there's Raghunath. And he looked at him and he said, oh, there is a thief. I will punish him. Why? Because he wasn't making himself known. But there was an inner meaning why he called him a thief, which really reveals the importance of Nityananda Tattva, Nityananda understanding. Who's Nityananda? The real thing was, is he was a thief because he was trying to go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu independent of Nityananda or Guru. Mahaprabhu is the, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the property of Guru. You can't take without the blessings of Guru. Without the blessings of Nityananda, he had to get the first he had to get the blessings of Nityananda. And what's the blessings of Nityananda? Nityananda punished him. How? Serve the Vaishnavas. You render service. Nityananda is the servant of Godhead. So those are affairs of knowledge, affairs of existence. I was just in Puri. Really amazing mix of like a resort kind of place, boardwalk type place, and ancient temples. And in Gaur Lila, it's very, very interesting that Lord Nityananda comes to Puri, as all used to come to Puri during the Chaturmasya, the 4 months of the rainy season, to see Lord Chaitanya. They all come to Puri. The Lord Nityananda is sent back. He's sent back to preach Krishna consciousness in Bengal to all sorts of people, regardless of their social status, because he is that potency to attract people towards Krishna. He is the source of the bhakti lata bij, the seed of devotional service. But he's also sent back because Lord Chaitanya has a antaranga karan, an internal reason for his descent, and a baharanga karan, an external reason. External doesn't mean artificial. External means what he does for others. Internal means what he does for himself. So Krishna, his external reason, or Chaitanya, Krishna's appearance is Chaitanya. The external reason for Krishna appearing as Chaitanya was to give love of Godhead. That's what he did for others. And the internal reason, the reason he came for himself, the reason he came for himself is Krishna wanted to experience or have the experience, the happiness, the perspective, the feelings of his topmost devotee, which is Radha, at the height of her ecstasy, which is her separation. So Chaitanya is Krishna in the form of the devotee wanting to experience the sentiments of the devotee. Nityananda is the servant to Godhead. He's to serve. So while just as Krishna is enjoying in Vrindavan and Balaram is serving him as the older brother, but he's also serving him by doing all the work. So in the same way, Balaram in the form of Nityananda is serving Krishna in the form of Chaitanya. as his associate, but also allowing, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a mission, and that's to distribute Krishna consciousness. But he retired from his mission to pursue the internal reason for his descent, which is to taste and relish the sentiments of Srimati Radharani. But to do that, someone had to do his other job, and that was Nityananda, that's Balaram. You know, serves him in all affairs of existence and knowledge. So his mission was to spread Krishna consciousness. So while he was in Puri, he sent Nityananda to do that work. Nityananda was born in a place called Radhadesh. I've been there several times, very fortunate to have been a place where there was not even any electricity. So damn peaceful, wow. Very small village, but it was really amazing. to go there, and he was the son of Padmavati and Hadai Ochai. Very loved son, and when Sannyasi stayed at home and talking Krishna Katha all night, the father was very, very pleased with the Sannyasi. Sannyasi only stays one day. He just needs a place to stay and to enlighten the people that facilitate his stay, and then he goes. Doesn't want to become attached, is not attached to any one place. So, Hadai Ochai says, I'll give you whatever you want. Please ask for something. And then the sannyasi, he says, well, you know, I'm traveling. I don't have an assistant. Can I have your eldest son? Can I have your son? And in those days, people were so cultured to truth, to having integrity, to sticking to their word. They were cultured by the books and they were read by the examples of the people. And cultured people, the pain of death was less than the pain of breaking their word. I knew people like this. The father had to give his son. He almost died. In fact, I think he did die. Died of separation. And then Lord Nityananda, he traveled all around India because he was with a sannyasi. And they would visit holy places. You know, holy places have particular inspirations and potencies to fill your heart with devotion. And they wouldn't want to stay in one place. They were Parivrajakacharyas, so they would go to different holy places. Traveled all of India, and then he wound up in Radhakund. Lord Nityananda. That was the last place he stayed. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come back from Gaya, which is also very interesting. He got initiated there. It shows you what real initiation is. It's the transference of Divya Gyan, or divine knowledge, and within that divine knowledge comes Bhagavat Sarup Gyan, knowledge of your form of God you worship, and Sambandha Vishesh Gyan, the particular relationship you have with that form of God. But the realization of what the Guru gives and the effect it has on your heart depends on your level of faith in Guru and in the things that the guru represents. Your trust. And your trust can be measured by the sacrifice you make to embrace those truths. And when one has full faith, then one can experience the full effect of whatever spiritual object one is valuing or associating with. So someone who's really a disciple, then the full relationship with Krishna immediately manifests in his heart at initiation. So for Lord Chaitanya, it just immediately, he was transformed in this desire to realize the love that Radha had for Krishna and that relationship that Radha had with Krishna manifest in his heart. And when you have that in your heart, then by spiritual impetus, naturally, you want to give what's in your heart. And that's really interesting how the Sankirtan mission begins. It begins in the nocturnal kirtans at Sri Vasangam, inspired by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because when there is love or devotion in the heart, then glorification or kirtan automatically and forcibly manifests. And that's really how Krishna consciousness spreads. When devotees get together and intimately chant the holy name, it creates a spiritual force that goes beyond that association. It overflows to others. I personally believe one of the most powerful ways in which Krishna consciousness was spread all over the world was by the 24-hour kirtan in Vrindavan. Devotees coming together for hours and hours and hours every day, intimately sharing the holy name, it created a spiritual impetus. That's how Krishna consciousness spread. Lord Chaitanya met one person, he becomes converted, and he converts many other people, and they convert other people. That's how it works. So when Lord Chaitanya wanted to spread his mission, then the hankering, the internal hankering for his brother, Lord Nityananda, became overwhelming in his heart. And through the transcendental system, which is the Paramatma, or the super soul in the heart, that desire of Lord Nityananda to be reunited with his brother, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also manifested in his heart. And he came to Navadvipa, he came to Mayapur, staying at the house of Nandanacharya. Kaibo? One second. And then they met, and it was a very anyway. That's about what I have to give today. I could go on, but I'm a little bit tired. But I don't mind some questions. Would anybody like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna, Gail.
Boy, Maharaj, I said, when I heard you say how tired you were, I said, this is probably going to be a good class. Because, you know, your best work usually comes during these days. And this was like the best class ever in all the years you've been doing these sanghas. This is like so great. You know, between your definition of sangha and, you know, the guru tattva thing, it was really wonderful. But anyway, I do have a question for you.
I'm shocked, but anyway. I'm almost on my back. You know, I almost fell asleep. But somehow Krishna had something come out. But okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, this was so great. You said that when the disciple trusts the guru, you know, the disciple's ability to realize his relationship with Krishna is kind of connected, dependent on his trust in the guru. And I found that strange because, I mean, I've heard that especially these days, when the gurus, at least these days, you know, they don't necessarily know the relationship between Krishna and, you know, and the disciple. So I was wondering how, is it just not dependent on the guru knowing himself? You know, is it just that the disciple has to trust the guru, and by that Krishna reciprocates with that trust, and that's how the disciple knows?
Well, you know, there's two things here. There's a verse, it says, Vyas may know or may not know, you know. What it means is what comes to a person is even beyond that person. It's Krishna.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
So, it's a medium for Krishna to manifest
mm-hmm.
to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not just the person. It's the appreciation and faith someone has in Krishna consciousness, you know, in that mm-hmm. trust in Krishna consciousness. And when you say someone like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he gets initiated, he surrenders. It's not just to the guru, but to that truth. And he has faith, that he has trust in the sublimity, to the degree that he'll give himself to it fully. And give up those things that have no value to it. It's a full surrender to what? The shelter of Krishna. The value of Krishna. It's like Narada Muni when he took the Mahaprasadam. You know, he had faith that this is the mercy of Krishna. When the real person hears a Bhagavatam, he has faith that this is Krishna. And therefore, with that faith, Krishna appears. Krishna manifests in those words. Same thing with the holy name. You chant one name with Krishna with faith. It destroys all your sins. Narada Muni took prasadam. His sins were gone. So it's a certain receptivity that comes when you value or appreciate something. It's a psychological condition that opens your heart to experience fully Krishna.
And so, therefore, I would imagine that such a person, if he is even hearing, let's say, the Bhagavatam from a professional reciter who is not a devotee, he can experience Krishna even there, right?
In a way, there definitely can be something, but there's also something that it's not the Bhagavatam. It's no longer the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam and the holy name also manifest the sincerity of the reciter, too. So let's put it this way, the full conviction and the full import, it won't be revealed fully in a person who doesn't have that kind of faith himself. So what has he understood? What has he realized? And what will he communicate? But if someone is already a advanced Vaishnava,
mm-hmm.
you know, then you know, he, like Lord Chaitanya heard, you know, an ordinary romance song, but it, it gave him a new deepen, a remembrance of the love of Radha and Krishna, so he went into ecstasy by that. But for someone who is not, you know, mature, and he hears an ordinary romance song, he'll feel automatic romance feelings. In the same sense, if the Bhagavatam is spoken by someone who doesn't have the understanding of love for Krishna but is doing it for money, it won't have the same effect, will it?
Yeah, unless, like you said, it's a very advanced person that won't depend so much, right?
Well, if it's neutral, but if it's been turned into something else, he may even become disgusted. But if it's a neutral presentation, yeah, he can get some inspiration, sure. Gail, keep this class in your mind. Write a few notes on it.
Are you kidding? I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to listen to it like 10 times.
Then we should discuss this class.
Yeah, this was really... Yeah, this was really...
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
thank you,
we shall... We shall discuss this class, okay?
Okay. Yes, okay. Thank you. All right.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances.
Nanda Dula, I got that check that you sent. Thank you very much for your kind donation.
Thank you, Maharaj. Very nice in our lecture. And actually, a few minutes ago, I was... directly, you know, watching Radhanath Maharaj giving lecture in Mayapur.tv. It is still going on because I have to turn it off. Anybody wants to, you know, listen, he was talking about Nityananda Prabhu, when you rightly mentioned about the faith, Nityananda Prabhu. That song, you know, came to my mind. Nodiya Godrami Nityananda. No, Nodiya Godrami Nityananda Mahajan. পথে আছে নাম হট জীবের কারণ চট্টান জন হে শ্রদ্ধাবান জন হে আছে নাম হটিয়া গৌদ্রুমে নিত্যানন্দ মহাজন পথে আছে নাম হট জীবের কারণ শ্রদ্ধাবান জন হে Prabhu Agyai Bhai Bhagiye Diksha Krishna Mata Krishna Pita Krishna Dana Pram Nadiya Gojume Nityananda Mahajan অপরাধ শূন্য হয় কৃষ্ণ নাম জীব জয় কৃষ্ণ নাম নাদিয়া গুমে আই লাইক দিস সঙ্গ Kamala, my battery is going to go out soon, so we'll just be shut up. Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. Now, Mother Gail will get enough special mercy if she listens to this song. How much Shraddha she has to have.
To listen to what?
If you have the faith, you know, that song tells, you know, if you have faith, Nityananda Mahaprabhu has opened the market of Harina and take it with the faith.
Barasuke kabe gai, barasuke kabe gai, barasuke kabe gai, barasuke kabe gai. What is the rest?
I forgot to pronounce it. I was.
Kodanitai,
Kodanitai. We're madmen. We're Abadu Nishinanda madmen today. Yes,
okay.
Yeah. Barasuke kabegai, Barasuke kabegai,
Barasuke kabegai. Hari, hari, hari,
bo. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Okay.
Hare. Thank you for trying. Thank you,
Amir. Hare Krishna. Anyone else like to say hello before this shuts off? Okay. Hare Krishna. Vanchu Kopa Trivya Shakas.